We're going to read in chapter 46, start at verse 5, and we'll read down through verse 11. This is God speaking through Isaiah. He, as he did through every prophet, and you know, it kind of amazes me how forgetful Israel was. I mean, they were, but then I look at us and I think, well, we're the same way, you know. It boggles my mind every time I read about what he did for them to get them out of Egypt. I mean, they watched those 10 plagues, and God took care of them through it all, and then parts the Red Sea for them to get out. And 3 days later, they're complaining and think God's forgot about them. But, you know, that's kind of the way we all are, I think. I hear a lot of people say, well, it's just the way things are nowadays. No, I think it's always been that way, okay? It's always been that way. And if there's ever been a country, a nation in the world that God has blessed, it's been Israel. And still today, they very much forgot him. Do you guys know that? They don't give God much credit for anything. They just don't. As a matter of fact, every survey they take, Israel is right at 90% agnostic. And so that kind of worries me some, you know. But God sent these prophets to warn them. And this is a warning right here. And I don't know why I chose this scripture other than, I mean, there's a word in there we're going to talk about tonight, purposed, okay? But listen to how they had really, by and large, turned their back on God. In verse 5, Isaiah 46, he said, "To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place he shall not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble." Now, they ought to know better than that, shouldn't they? I mean, it's been a history that's taken place. I mean, they hadn't been out of Egypt very long until Aaron made the golden calf. And God says, "You guys know better than that. Moses said you know better." But here they are, God saying, "Who are you going to make me like?" Well, you make a gold or a silver image, okay? And you set it up. I like where it says you set him in his place and he just stays there. You know why? Because he can't go anywhere. You pray to him, but he can't answer your prayers. How futile is that? But that's the way a lot of people are, right? Well, let's go on with it, okay, in verse 8. "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and then there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." Now that's a strong statement from God, isn't it? I don't know if you noticed. I had somebody actually ask me, I don't know if it was this morning or one day this week, my days have all run together, okay? You know, I think Brother Jimmy said I was tired this morning, almost. Almost. I'd work all day up until about 2 o'clock, and then I would leave, and I'd go home and clean up, and I'd go to youth camp, and I'd do what I do. And, of course, if you're around our youth camp in South Kentucky, we don't get out early, okay? And then I'd have to go home every night and make up 30 new questions for those kids for the next day. And so I was sleeping 3.5 to 4 hours a night, but that's okay. I'll be all right, you know. But we try to remind each other of how good that God is and what he's done for us. And he said that here. But somebody asked me, and again, I can't remember if it was this morning or one night this week, was Jesus really going to ride back on a white horse? Because this is what it talks about in Revelation. And I can't remember who it was, but my answer was, no, that's just symbolic of a conqueror. Well, we have a little symbolism here, okay? Did you notice this? In verse 11, he said, calling a ravenous bird from the east. That's symbolic. There's not going to be a bird come and destroy Israel, okay? Who's it going to be? Nebuchadnezzar. And he's from the east. And God has warned them. He's warned them why that's going to happen is because of their idolatry. And I want you to, let's read verse 11 again so we can get that word. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. We're going to look at that word purposed tonight, okay? And I know a lot of times we talk about doing things on purpose, okay? And when we say we're going to do something on purpose, what are we talking about? It didn't randomly happen, right? We planned for that. The word purposed means that you intended, you aimed. I mean, you ever heard that old saying? I hear it at home all the time. I aim to do that. Okay, up here we just said we meant to do that, but down there we aim to do that, okay? Well, that's purpose. You contemplated it. You planned it. God didn't want to bring destruction, but they just kept ignoring him, and he kept warning them, and now he says, I'm bringing it your way, and I intend to do so. I've laid out a plan here, okay? I've set a goal that I'm bringing a king, a man from a far country. He's from east of you, and he's going to come, and he's going to, in my way of saying it, he's going to pour out my wrath upon you. I purpose that. Now, I don't know if you get that. That's a negative side, okay? That's a negative side. But God has also purposed that we could all be saved. See, he had planned for Israel to stay there and meant for them to. But when they continually rebelled against God, God said, well, you know, I'll just make another plan. I want to help you, want to save you, I want to preserve you. But if you're going to reject me and you're going to set up idols and you're going to worship them and you're going to pray to something that can't hear you, that can't see you, that can't even move itself off of a shelf, you go right ahead. And if you do that, here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to do. He purposed it in his own heart that this is what he was going to do. And I want to use that word purpose not in a negative sense so much tonight, but more in a positive sense because, and I preached a funeral this week too. You guys didn't know that, did you? Okay. But I like to explain in a funeral, I don't say a whole lot about the dead person. You know why? Because they're dead. I don't have any say-so. Now, I'm guilty sometimes of saying, now this person left a good testimony, and Sister Margaret left a good testimony. Loved her dearly. She went to the first church I pastored. She's one of them women that wanted to mother me, and she was old enough almost to be my mother. She has just turned 91. But, you know, I don't have any say on where somebody's going to go when they die. They've already, I'm going to use the word, purposed that in their own life. You make that decision. And I often say it in funerals, and I even preach it, and you guys hear it once in a while. We make all kind of plans in life, don't we? I mean, we do. I've got a feeling that, when you got married, you probably planned for it, didn't you? I told the boss that Friday, I met him in the hallway there in the new addition. I said, are you lost yet? He said, nope. I said, do you know where your office is? He said, nope. I just go where they tell me to go. And I said, well, you're just like the groom in a wedding. He said, what do you mean? I said, the bride and her mother and her bridesmaids have got it all planned out, and all the groom has to do is show up when they tell him to show up and stand where they tell him to stand and speak when he's supposed to speak, and that's all your job is. And you grooms know that, don't you? And you brides know that, don't you? That's the way it works. Well, The bride's the one that made all the planning. That's not the way it was in Jesus' time. The groom did all the planning, okay? And that's why he's the groom and he's got it all planned out. Now, we plan for all that stuff. People plan for their vocation. You know, they have careers and they go to school for years and plan for it. But very seldom do people plan to die. And that's the most important plan that you can make in your life. And the most important plan you can make in your life, aside from that, is to serve God. Let's look at a few scriptures here tonight. First of all, let's go to Acts chapter 11. And I want you to see was said here in Acts chapter 11, if I can find it. And it's all about purpose, and it uses the word purpose in it, okay? Let's jump in here in Acts chapter 11, just two verses, verse 22 and 23, okay? The church is beginning to grow at this point. It started in Jerusalem. The Jews somehow had an idea that it was just supposed to be for the Jews, but Peter messed that up when he preached to Cornelius in his house. And God began to say, believe it or not, Peter had to come back to his brethren, his disciples, and explain himself. He had to defend himself for preaching to the Gentiles because you're not supposed to do that. And he's like, I can't help it. God told me to go do it. I did it, okay? And the church is beginning to grow. As a matter of fact, it has grown so much that it has gone far from Jerusalem. It's up in the city of Antioch. And I don't know if you have ever studied the book of Acts, but Antioch's a big church, and it's a Gentile church. And God worked out there. Matter of fact, that is the church that sent out Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. And it's grown to that point, okay? Now, the church down in Jerusalem wasn't planning for that to happen, but God was, okay? So let's look at verse 22 and 23. It said, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them that with them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He didn't want us to tell them. He gets up there and he's surprised that these people are saved, and he sees that God is working. And he says, what you need to do here, church, is this. You need to lay out a plan. I didn't exit stage left. I just went and got my water. That is stage left, by the way, in case you didn't know that, Snagglepuss. Okay. And the ones who are laughing remember that cartoon, okay? But when it comes to serving the Lord, he said you need to have a plan. You need to have a plan. Now, I believe we need to have a plan for our life, don't we? Jimmy fell in that trap a minute ago. He said he wasn't even a Christian. He's reading the book. He's reading the Word. Why? He thought maybe he could find some answers in there. God has a way of showing us things in the Word, don't he? We need to have a plan for our life. And I've said this a lot of times, used it a lot of times in his example. The place where I used to work, you know, they, if you're in management, they'll just drive things in your head. And there's a couple of sayings that they would tell us about all the time. And the first one was, and boy, they hammered this with us for years, but it was this. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. What's that a sign of when you always do what you've always done, hoping for a different result? Einstein said that's a sign of insanity. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and you don't get a different result, but you keep trying, hoping you'll get a different result, Einstein said you're nuts. But that's what we do, don't we? We're just going to keep doing the same thing. Now, sometimes you need to do the same thing, but if it's not bringing about the result that you want, you need to change it, right? And the other saying that they gave us was this. People don't fail to plan, plan to fail, they fail to plan. And throughout the years, and even right now, it's amazing. I read once in a while of how many churches close their doors every week. And we've had our share in a separate Baptist here in the last few years close their doors. And people will always ask me, what do you think was wrong? And my answer is always this: you can only blame the people. You can't blame God. Because God doesn't want them to shut down. God doesn't want churches to close their doors. He wants them to be lighthouses in the community that they're in. No, the problem is that church failed to plan and to do things differently to stay alive in the church world or in the world that we live in. Listen, there are no new sins, okay? There's no new sins. There's no new attitudes from people. There's just different avenues that they come our way. And as a church, you've got to plan to fight those attitudes. What Barnabas is saying to the churches here, that with purpose of heart, with a planned a procedure, you need to lay out a plan to serve God. Listen, if you're a Christian today and you don't have a plan to do a devotional every day, you'll grow if you start a devotional. I don't care if you buy a book, okay? That's all right. But lay something out that you feed yourself every day to serve God. Because when you do that, how many of you ladies, and I know not all of you do because we're 2025 now, how many of you plan for a meal every day? Well, we got two or three that still plan for a meal, you know. And the rest of you are like, well, we'll just wing it tonight. Let's go to McDonald's. I mean, that used to be a big thing, right? I mean, especially, and a lot of time when your kids grow up, you don't do it as much, but you do plan for it, right? But, well, you need to plan for your spiritual nourishment. That's what Barnabas is telling the church here. You need to do what it takes to keep this thing going, and it takes some planning to get it done. Okay, you got that? Okay, let's back up over here to Luke for just a minute. And I don't plan to preach very long because I am a little tired and I got to go home tonight, okay? And then I'll be more tired and wake up in the morning and still be tired. But that's all right. I'm getting to that age too. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? But let's look here in Luke chapter 14. And let's look at what Jesus had to say about, and the subtitle in my Bible is The Cost of True Religion. There's a cost, right? I mean, let's think about it. You might not plan for supper. Some of you admitted tonight you don't, okay? But let's say you're gonna buy a new vehicle. Do you plan for that? I mean, or do you just kind of haphazardly go out and go, oh, that's the one I want. You know, I don't care what it costs, I'm buying it. Or do you try to stop and think, you know, can I afford that? And that, listen, I've had people this way. I've done it myself. You know, well, if I want it and I can't afford it now, is there something I can give up to afford it, right? Now, I'm not angry at anybody. I'm just stating facts here tonight, okay? It's amazed me that people that smoke always have cigarettes but can't afford food for their kids. And I had a brother that did, and I'd say, what's wrong with you, dude? Lay them things down. Feed your kids, right? I remember they decided they were going to buy a four-wheeler in their house, and his wife was kind of balking on it. And he said, we can do it if the two of us will just not buy one soft drink a day. We can pay for this thing. And I thought, one soft drink a day from both of them, you can pay for this thing? Imagine what you could have if you just quit drinking them altogether. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Them things are expensive, aren't they? I don't even know what they cost now. You know, I'm sure, you know, used to you go in and get a 10-ounce, and then you get 12-ounce and 16. Now they're all 20-ounce. What are they, $2.50 or something? That's a lot of money. If you start calculating that, that's a lot of money, right? And if you wanted a new vehicle, if you wanted a house, if you want to go into a different apartment and you stop and consider, and boy, I'm close, would you be willing to give up the soft drink in order to pay for it? That's purpose, okay? This is what I'm going to do to get this. That's the way our Christian life is. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here in Luke chapter 14. Let's jump in at verse 25 and we'll read down to verse 33. He said, "And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." There has to be purpose there, doesn't there? Now, he's not talking about hate him like we use today in our language, okay? What he's talking about is priorities, okay? And he goes on to say that. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. For which of you..." Now he's going to get into the economics of the thing, okay? "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beheld it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." What's he saying? You got to make a plan, right? You have to assure that you have the financial ability to go out and to build this project. And if you don't, you know what? People are going to talk about you and laugh about you. But he's talking about the Christian life, isn't he? Have we laid out a plan to live for God? Is there purpose in our life to serve God? Then he goes into the military aspect, okay, in verse 31. "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or what else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace? So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Now, can I bring up just a current situation that's got to do with warfare? Iran. Biggest troublemakers in the world today, right? I mean, they're funding, and may still be, I don't know, terrorism all around the world. And the president said, "We're not going to let you have an atomic bomb. You're not going to have an atomic bomb because you're idiots. And you'll use it on anybody." And they would, right? And we've had presidents in the past that have warned them, and the last one that we had just looked at them and said, "Don't." That's telling a five-year-old, "Don't put your hand in the cookie jar." Okay? With no consequence. But this president, and I think the world is a little scared of him, don't you? He scares me sometimes. He said, "Don't you try it, because I'll send Moab over there and he'll take care of you." You guys know who Moab is, don't you? That's the mother of all bombs. And it will penetrate about 300 feet in the earth before it ever explodes. Do you know what the Ayatollah didn't do? He didn't count the cost. He said, "Well, we're going to keep going like we're going." And Donald Trump said, "Oh, no, you're not. We can negotiate this thing out, or you can try me just a little longer." And what happened? He got pushed too far, didn't he? You got to make plans. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus is saying that if you think that you can win this battle against Satan all by yourself, you go right ahead, or you can negotiate and you can get on the winning side. There must be a purpose there, right? I mean, we got a plan. We've got to intend. We've got to aim at the target if we're going to hit it. That's what purpose is all about. And back in Isaiah, God is saying, "Listen, I want to do you good, but since you won't straighten up and you won't repent and you won't come back to me, then here's my intention. This is what I'm going to do. I'll give you the plan. I'm going to get a ravenous bird that's going to fly in here from the east, and he's going to destroy you if you don't turn around. That's what my plan is." Now, God would a whole lot rather they turned around than for him to have to follow through on the plans, right? How many, this, mothers are terrible for this. If you don't quit, Dad, I'm going to come in there and whip you. 5 minutes later, I said if you don't quit that, I'm going to come in there and whip you. What do fathers do? My kids heard this a whole lot when they were growing up. You better stop that in there. I'm coming in there. It didn't stop. I would rise up from my chair and I'd say, let the beatings begin. It's the only warning they got, right? That's what God did. That's what Jesus did right here. You've been warned. You didn't listen. So guess what? Here's the plan, right? How many mothers went down the road and the kids are racked up in the back seat and said, don't make me pull this car over. Don't make me whip you. Fathers will usually give you that warning about twice, and then the car gets pulled over. Rick's looking at Thurman. I got a feeling he's got experience in that part of the world, okay? I have too, brother, okay? Mom never did pull it over, but Dad would pull it over, right? And when he pulled it over, what did he mean when he pulled it over? You have crossed the line. I didn't want to have to do this, but I'm gonna. That's what God said. That's what Jesus is saying. If we're going to follow him, then we have to be willing to do what he asks us to do. And are you willing is what he's asking. Have you counted the cost? Do you understand what it means? Listen, I enjoy a lot of things in life and did until I started pastoring, and all of a sudden I can't do them anymore. There's a young man, and you guys all know him. He's been here and sung with a group. He's singing with a different group now. But he used to just irritate me to death about wanting to sing with his group. And I said, I can't sing with your group. He said, you can preach and sing. I said, yes, you can preach and sing. But you can't preach and travel with a singing group. You got to make up your mind. Are you going to preach or are you going to sing? And that's the way it is with Christian life. There's some things in the world, yeah, you could do them, but are they going to compromise your relationship with Jesus Christ? If they take up too much of your time, guess what? That compromises your time with Jesus Christ. You got to make a plan, I'm going to do it, and you need to stick with it. That's what Jesus is saying here, isn't he, okay? Here's what it's got to happen. His purpose, his plan has got to be our plan, right? His purpose must become ours if we're going to live for him and we're going to do what we're supposed to do, okay? What does Romans 8:28 say? Anybody quote that for me real quick? We know, we quote it all the time, come on, that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. And we like to quit there, right? But did you ever finish the verse? To them that are the called according to his purpose. Guess what? We as Christians are all the called according to his purpose. He's got the plan mapped out. He's already got a plan and a purpose for your life before you ever came to him, before you were ever born. Didn't God tell Isaiah that? He said, before you were ever born, I knew you. Before you were ever formed in your mother's belly, before you ever came forth out of her womb, I had ordained you a prophet. God already had a plan. And I think he's got one for us. Did he have one for John the Baptist before he was ever born? Absolutely. I don't think we're any different, do you? He's already got a plan for us. Now, let's go over here to 2 Timothy. We're going to finish up here pretty quick, okay? I'm not going to tell you in a minute or two because my minutes are longer than anybody else's, okay? Mom always told me that, and I think she is right. Now, here's according to his purpose, okay? In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. Paul wrote, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and hath called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Hold on to your blue seat before the world began. For you's ever thought of, Paul said God had a plan for you. He had a purpose for you. The problem in our lives is this. We're kind of like Israel sometimes. We get our purposes crossed. He had a purpose for Israel. What was his purpose for Israel? Period. Anybody know? Without me teaching you the book of Genesis and all that kind of stuff. God's purpose in calling Abraham out of the land he lived in and bringing him into a land that he was going to give him. And here's the purpose, okay? This is the promise that God gave to Abraham. Your seed are going to become, you're going to have a great nation. More than the stars of the heaven or the sands of the seas. I'm going to give you this land. And here's the most important part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What was the purpose for Israel as a nation? To bring Christ into the world. And I know people disagree with me on this, and that's all right if you disagree with me. But, you know, I look at the scriptures, and I look at the way them people live. I wonder how many trips God made around the block before he could finally do what he said he wanted to do. You say, what do you mean? Well, they kept sinning. He had to keep disciplining them. He had to get them to go captive. He didn't want to do that. Do you understand that? His purpose was not to do that. His purpose was to bring Jesus Christ into the world. And do you know what Paul wrote later on? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son into the world, born of a woman. Why did it take so long? Because they wouldn't listen. God had that plan all along, but they wouldn't listen. And so God had to change directions and he had to send punishment their way. And he had to do things he didn't want to do to get them around where they needed to be. And finally, when God finally got everything just like he wanted it to, he sent his son into the world. But he had a point and an intention for each and every one of us as we was born, didn't he? And here's the thing that bothers me is some of us don't know what our purpose is. But didn't Paul tell Timothy that that purpose was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began? Man, I tell you what, I think I'd be looking for my purpose, wouldn't you? I don't know what yours is. I know what mine is. I know what I've got to do. I'd be wanting it, wouldn't you? Too many people go around, oh, I have no meaning in my life. Well, what's wrong with you? How can you be a Christian and not have meaning in your life? There's got to be a purpose. There's got to be something that is planned in your life, something that's intent. You got to have a goal in life. Does everybody here have a goal in life? Man, I want to make it to heaven. I don't know about you. And I don't know what all it's going to take, but you know what? I have decided, I have purposed in my heart that it doesn't matter what it takes, I'm going to get there. Because it's a far better alternative than the other one. And I scribbled this down at the end of this little piece of paper here so I wouldn't forget it because I almost did. And I looked down and I said, oh, I saw it. Somebody help me sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. That needs to be your purpose. Stand with me if you would. Anyone have anything you'd like to say to contribute to our service tonight?